This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in Islam. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. We continue our explanation of the Hanbali text, Bidayatul Abid wa Kifayatul Zahid, walhamdulillah, authored by the Hanbali scholar Abdul Rahman ibn Abdullah al-Ba'li al-Hanbali rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, in our previous majlis, we discussed matters pertaining to the witr salah. We talked about the voluntary prayers. We discussed witr salah. We spoke about the sunan al-rawatib, salatul duha, salatul istikhara. The author mentioned salatul hajah. We discussed the sajda of tilawa and also the sajda of shukr, walhamdulillah. We discussed the makruh times, the three major makruh times, and also the two minor makruh times. We discussed salah in jama'ah, how to pray in jama'ah. We talked about the imam and the conditions and the fiqh related to the one who is the imam. We ended off with those who are excused from the jama'ah and from salatul jumu'ah, insha'Allah. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in this majlis, we will be discussing the salah of the ahl al-a'dhar, the people who have an excuse. What excuse? People who, for example, fall in the category of the musafir, the traveler. And so there's a lot of concessions given to these people. Those who are making use of these concessions, number one, the musafir. Number two, the one who is ill, the one who is sick. There are concessions available to him or her. And number three, the one who is in a state of fear, that maybe you are in the thick of the battle, and so Salatul Khawf we will discuss, insha'Allah. But before that, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, with regards to our previous majlis, a few masail that maybe we just glossed over and might have missed out a few points. When the author discussed Salatul Istikhara, he mentions that we do it for even matters of good. For example, a Hajj and an Umrah, a Nafil Hajj, a Nafil Umrah, we make Salatul Istikhara. This Istikhara here is not about whether to do it or not, but rather Istikhara here is to do with when's the best time. Is this month here the best time for this Nafil Umrah? So that's what that Istikhara is about, but it's not about to do Umrah or not to do Umrah, walhamdulillah. As for sajdatu sahu, then there are various methods of performing sajdatu sahu, and all of them are valid, walhamdulillah. Easiest method is that you come to the end of your prayer, and before you give your salam, you make two sujood, and then you sit up and you make a salam to the right and you make your salam to the left. So you recite and you go through your attahiyat, your durood, your dua, and then Allahu Akbar, one sajda, Allahu Akbar, sit up, and then second sajda, sit up, and then your two salams, walhamdulillah. What about our sajda of tilawa? Our sajda of tilawa, well, one of two matters, either you are in salah or you are outside of salah. Remember, sajda of tilawa, this is recommended and not an obligation according to the madhab. And so if one is in salah, one recited the verse of sajda, immediately you go down into sajda, Allahu Akbar, and after that, Allahu Akbar, you stand back up, walhamdulillah. Outside of salah, it's recommended that even if you were seated, that you stand up, you say Allahu Akbar, and then you go down into this sajda, you sit up, and then you make salam to the right. Because of that narration of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every salah we begin with takbir and we end with taslim. And because the Hanbali state that sajda of tilawa follows the rules of salah, so that's why they say you started with Allahu Akbar and you also ended off with one salam, insha'Allah, walhamdulillah. We discussed the salah in jama'ah, so we have an individual performing salah, and we have a kid next to him, a 5-year-old kid, a 6-year-old kid, a 7-year-old kid, an 8-year-old kid, a 9-year-old kid. The kid is not baligh, basically. And this is fard salah. This individual who is baligh, Salman, at the age of 50, and he's got this kid, 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 10-year-old kid next to him, technically this will not be salatul jama'ah. For fard salah, this will not constitute a jama'ah. Why? Because that kid there, his salah for himself is a nafil salah. That salah is not an obligation upon him. But if we were praying salatul taraweeh or a nafil salah, then yes, flexibility, and we will regard that as a jama'ah with the small kid, insha'Allah. We also discussed, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, according to the madhab, whatever you catch with the imam is what you've caught with the imam. And then when he finishes off, you stand up and you make qada of what you missed. Example, you caught the imam in the third rak'ah. It's your third rak'ah. Then the imam's in the fourth, you will do the fourth with him. So you've done your third and you've done your fourth. And the fruit of this would be that you will only be reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in these two rak'ahs. When the imam makes his two salams, you will stand up to complete your salah. Here you will recite Surah Al-Fatiha and a surah. Why? Because technically you're now standing up to make up your first rak'ah. This is your first rak'ah. And so suratul fatiha and surah, and then the one after will be your second rak'ah, suratul fatiha and surah. So technically your salah was the third rak'ah, then the fourth rak'ah, then the first rak'ah, and then the second rak'ah. And that's the official position. There are other riwayat, but that's for another time, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Also remember that if you are in your salah and you made an error, you are praying behind the imam in jama'ah, and you made a mistake in your salah. And this mistake that you made, technically it would require you to make sajdatu sahu. But there's no sajdatu sahu upon you. Why? Because you are following the imam and the imam carries for you, insha'Allah. Similarly, in your salatul dhuhr, you might have recited a verse which has sajda of tilawa in it. You don't depart from the imam and make a sajda of tilawa. No. Here the imam also carries and covers from you for you, insha'Allah. Also, the other matter that the imam covers, the author had mentioned the first tashahud. An example of this would be according to the riwayah. According to the riwayah of the madhab, where the riwayah, not the official position, the riwayah in the madhab, where whatever you catch with the imam is the beginning of your salah. So if the imam technically was in his second rak'ah and I joined him, it is my first rak'ah and it's his second rak'ah, according to the other riwayah of the madhab. Excellent. So it's the imam's second and it's my first. Then the imam obviously will sit for that tashahud and it's my first rak'ah, but the imam is sitting, so I will have to sit with him. I'm not supposed to be sitting because there's no tashahud in my first rak'ah, but here I'm following the imam, so this is carried, insha'Allah. So I will sit. Then technically the imam will pray his third rak'ah and it will be my second, and I'm supposed to sit now. I am supposed to sit for tashahud now, but I can't because I'm following the imam and it's his third rak'ah. And so I will follow him and I will not make that tashahud there. And so here this also, the imam covers for you. So this is what the author meant by that the imam covers for you, sajdatu sahu, covers for you, sajdat tilawa, saj covers for you, example of the tashahud, the first tashahud, according to this riwayah of the madhab, walhamdulillah. What if we are in jama'ah salah and the follower makes salam before the imam? He completes his salah before the imam. We learned that if he does this purposefully, his salah is null and void. If he didn't have a valid excuse, his salah is null and void. But what if this imam is prolonging the salah too long and I need to go somewhere, I need to do something, there's my kid crying, etc. And so I make the intention that I am breaking off my salah from this imam and I'm finishing off my salah right now, and I completed my salah because I have a valid excuse. This would be allowed, insha'Allah, as occurred with Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala an, when an individual had done so who was praying behind him, behind Mu'adh. We talked about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and that the imam should pray the salah in the best manner And, you know, he should, shouldn't over prolong. He should make takhfif, but this takhfif, lightening of the prayer, should be a complete type of takhfif. So it's between two extremes. And we find that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the sujood, in the ruku, he would make the tasbih 10 times. And so many of the scholars state that that is, you know, that is very good to make the tasbih 10 times, insha'Allah. Also, with regards to who to be the imam, the author broke it up into two categories. Number one, if we do not have any wilaya, so there's no wilaya in this matter, then we talk about the one who reads the best, the one who is knowledgeable, the one who is from Banu Hashim, the Quraysh, etc. Those criteria, we look at that. But if there is wilaya, if there is like ownership or rulership involved, then they have preference. So the Khalifa will be given preference over anyone else. Then he talks about the person who's the Imam of the Masjid. The Imam of the Masjid, he is given preference over any other visitor, even if the visitor reads better. Because he's got wilaya, he's got like, you know, he's been appointed here. And similarly in your house, even though the other scholar, he might read better, etc. In your house, you have wilaya and you have more right to that matter. Someone reads in his Surah Al-Fatiha, you know, he messes up his Fatiha to an extent where, you know, he changes the meaning. Then this individual cannot be your imam. He can only be the imam of people who read similar to him. Someone says, "Ahdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in," etc. This here is a major issue. His salah for you as an imam, his salah will be invalid because you can read better than him. But for people like him, it would be okay. Then we discussed the imam. Well, if the imam's a man, then the people, the men and the women and everyone should stand behind him. If for example, there's one individual, then you stand on the right-hand side of the imam. If there's a group, they can all stand on the right-hand side of the imam. They could also, five on his right-hand side, five on his left-hand side. But what's not allowed is that standing on the left-hand side of the imam, that is not allowed. Similarly, if the imam's a female, a woman, then the females, they should stand on her right-hand side and on her left-hand side, but not only on the left-hand side. We discussed following the imam, you in the masjid, then as long as you are within that space, as long as you're within the space and you have knowledge of the movements of the imam, you will be part and parcel of the jama'ah. But if you're outside the masjid, then you need to at least see some of the musallis. You need to see the people who see the people who see the people who see the imam, insha'Allah. Even if it's only in some portion of the salah. You know, there might be, you know, a wall. And so only when they are standing, you are able to see them. That suffices, walhamdulillah. And then the author discussed the excuses from jama'ah and jumu'ah. And from amongst them, it's very, very, very cold and you fear that you will fall ill, that there is a valid excuse. Another valid excuse, for example, he had mentioned that if your caravan's leaving, a contemporary example would be that, for example, your plane's about to take off, etc. And so you have to miss Salatul Jumu'ah because you need to be at the airport. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we now move on to the Salah of the people who have excuses. And the first of them, we begin the one who is ill, the marid. Faslun. يلزم المريض أن يصلي قائما. That the one who is sick, he has to pray while standing. While standing. You have to pray while standing. It's a pillar of the prayer. ولو كراكع معتمدا أو مستندا بأجرة يقدر عليها. It is required that the person who sick pray while standing, even in the posture of one bowing, even if, you know, he's like in the bowing posture, he's in the ruku posture, that's what he can manage in terms of standing, then he does so. Even if he has to lean on maybe a stick or a wall, then he does so. Even if he has to employ somebody to assist him to stand, then he does so, if he is able to do all of those. But if he can't do any of those, whether you try to help him, whether he stands next to the wall, uses a stick, he cannot stand. If unable, then he can sit down and he should sit cross-legged. In relation to his standing, he should sit cross-legged. But then when it comes the time of his tashahud, etc., then he would sit in the normal tashahud posture, insha'Allah. وكيف قاعدة جاز. And whatever manner he sits, it would be permissible. فإن لم يستطع فقاعدة متربعة ندبا. It is recommended for him to sit cross-legged in relation to the standing posture recommended. But in any manner that he sits, it would be fine, inshallah. Even if, for example, you are praying with an imam, so it's just the two of you, so the imam is standing there and you are sitting next to him and you have your legs extended forward. Remember, we stated that that the follower, his heel should not be in front of the imam. But here I'm praying with the imam, but I can't stand. I'm sitting. And here I'm extending my feet, and technically my heels are ahead of the imam. This would be okay. Here we look at where you are seated. We look at your rear. As long as your rear is not ahead of the imam's heel, this would be valid, inshallah. And so the author states, فإن لم يستطع فعلى جنبه والأيمن أفضل ويومئ بركوع والسجود عاجز عنهما ما أمكنه ويجعل السجود أخفض. The author states that the individual, but if he's unable to even sit in that manner, cross-legged, etc., then he lies on his side and the right hand side is better. If he's unable to do that, then they gesture to the best of their ability for bowing and prostration, making the prostration lower. And so you indicate with the head. For your prostration, you go forward an extra amount, and for your ruku, it's less than that. If they are incapable of even that, they signal with their eyes while the action is present in their heart, just like one unable to speak. And if they are unable to even do that, فَإِنْ عَجَزَ أَوْ مَأَ بِطَرَفِهِ, you indicate with your eyes, you pray with your eyes, مُسْتَحْضِرًا الْفِعْلَ بِقَلْبِهِ, while you're thinking it and imagining it in your heart. وَكَذَا الْقَوْلِ إِنْ عَجَزَ عَنْهُ بِلِسَانِهِ. And similarly, if you're unable to move any parts of your body and you're unable to even speak, then you just think out the salah. So if you can move some body parts, alhamdulillah, you do that. Whatever you can say, alhamdulillah, fantastic. But if you can't even do any of those, then you still think your salah, inshallah. You cannot verbalize, cannot move, you think the salah, inshallah. وَلَا تَسْقُطُ مَا دَامَ الْعَقْلُ ثَابِتًا. And salah is not removed from you, is not lifted from you, for as long as your mind, for as long as you have sanity and you have capacity of mind. Walhamdulillah. فَإِنْ قَدْرَ عَلَىٰ قِيَامٍ أَوْ قُعُودٍ فِي أَثْنَائِهَا إِنْتَقَلَ إِلَيْهِ وَأَتَمْنَهَا. If you were in the middle of your salah, and walhamdulillah, you know, you got shifa, alhamdulillah, the pain is removed now, then you need to start praying your salah as normal and continue it as normal. Walhamdulillah. You were seated, and now mashallah, you feel you're full of energy, all is well, you stand and you continue your salah, inshallah. وَلَا تَصِيحُ مَكْتُوبَةٌ فِي سَفِينَةٍ قَاعِدًا لِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ قِيَامٍ. It's not permissible for you to pray while seated on a ship or a boat if you are able to stand. So there's enough space. They allow you to stand up and pray on the plane. Then you need to stand up and you need to face the Qibla and you need to pray while standing. You don't have an excuse to sit. تصيح على راحلة واقفة أو سائرة. Then the author discusses here that there are certain individuals that it would be allowed for them to sit and perform their salah. These are individuals who are unable to get down from the animal and perform salah. They are unable to get down and stand. Some examples he lists that an obligatory prayer is not valid while seated on a vessel for the one able to stand, though it is valid on a standing or advancing mount due to, here's some excuses, due to harm from mud, rain, etc., fear of being separated from your traveling group. So I can't come down and perform my fard salah because these people are going to leave me. I cannot come down because there's all snow here and it's very, very cold. I cannot come down because there's so much of mud, etc. So here you pray on your mount. Here you pray while you are seated on your animal, on your mount, while you're in the car, etc. Fear for one's life from an enemy, or being unable to mount after dismounting. Very, very, very old. And if he gets down from that horse, he won't be able to get back up. You can pray while you are on the horse, inshallah. It is a must that one face towards the Qibla. وَعَلَيْهِ إِسْتِقْبَالِ مَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ. And it's a must that one must face towards the Qibla And does whatever they are able to. So while you're on that horse, you do whatever you can do, inshallah. You do whatever you are able to do. Consideration is given to the resting place of the limbs during prostration. The author states that وَيُعْتَبَرُ الْمَقَرُّ لِأَعْضَاءِ السُّجُودِ فَلَوْ وَضَعَ جَبْهَتَهُ عَلَى قُطْنٍ مَنْفُوشٍ أَوْ صَلَّى فِي أُرْجُوحَةٍ وَلَا ضَرُورَ لَمْ تَصِحْ. Consideration is given to the resting place of the limbs. You know, the limbs, they must be istiqrar. They must be settled upon what they are praying. You cannot be praying on like, some sort of fluffy cotton. Some sort of fluffy cotton where your head doesn't rest on it properly. So if you have this like cushion, you need to apply pressure that until the point that your head is like rested upon it. Head is rested upon it. And similarly, you cannot be praying on a swing because there's no excuse for this matter. You can easily get down and perform your salah. And so if you are, for example, performing your salah on a carpet, and then there are these cushions, and you just put your head on one of these thick cushions, this is a problem. You need to apply pressure up to the point that, you know, it is firm now. It is firm now, inshallah. So that was the fiqh related to the one who is ill. Now we move on to the one who is the musafir, inshallah. Also, with regards to the one who is sick, we will discuss very soon that individual is allowed to join between Zuhr and Asr at Zuhr time, or Zuhr and Asr at Asr time, Maghrib and Isha at Maghrib time, or Maghrib and Isha at Isha time. And we will discuss that very soon, inshallah. For now, faslun, now the musafir, inshallah. Yusannu قصر الصلاة رباعية لمن نوى سفرا مباحا. It is recommended to shorten the four-unit prayer for the one who intends permissible travel. So the better thing to do is for you to pray two rakahs of Dhuhr, two rakahs of Asr, two rakahs of Isha. That is sunnah, that is better than praying full as long as you are a valid musafir, inshaAllah. And this is the shortening of the Zuhr, the Asr, and the Isha prayer. As for Fajr and Maghrib, they are not shortened. Safaran Mubahan. So who's allowed to shorten? Number one, you must be a Musafir, and it must be a permissible type of Safar. Not that you are going to Las Vegas to gamble, and so you want to join and you want to shorten your prayer. Absolutely not allowed. Walau linuzhatin o فُرُجَةٍ لِمَحَلْ مُعَيِّنٍ يَبْلُغُ 16 فَرْسَخًا بَرًّا وَبَحْرًا. Even if it is permissible travel, even if it's permissible travel, you're going for a holiday, you're going to visit your uncle, etc. All of that for sightseeing, no problem. You will be allowed to shorten your prayers, inshallah. Then the next condition is that it must be to a specific place. It must not be that, you know what, I'm just traveling and we'll see where we go, etc. No, you must be headed towards a specific place, not just somebody who's lost or somebody who is wandering around. And there's a minimum number of kilometers that you need to intend to pass or reach for you to be regarded as a musafir. And the author states it is 16 farsakh, whether on land or whether on the sea. What does this equal? This equals plus minus 80, plus minus 85 kilometers, inshallah. Plus minus 80, 85 kilometers, inshallah. That's the opinion of majority of the scholars, that this translates into 4 burud, and 4 burud in our kilometers, around 80, 85 kilometers, inshallah. When do I become a musafir? وَهِيَ يَوْمَانِ قَاصِدَانِ إِنْ فَارَقَ بُيُوتْ قَرْيَتِهِ الْعَامِرَ أَوْ خِيَامْ قَوْمِهِ. When do I become a musafir? Once I book my ticket? No. Once I pack my bags? No. Once I jump in the car? No. Once I leave the boundary of my city, now I will be a musafir for as long as I am traveling a distance, 85 or more kilometers, inshallah. My final destination is 85 kilometers. Then from the time I leave the boundary of my city, I will now be regarded as a musafir. I can now shorten my prayers. I can now join between prayers, inshallah. So again, you need to be a musafir. This must be a permissible type of travel. You need to have the intention that you are traveling more than 85 kilometers, 85 or more kilometers, inshallah. وَلَا يُكْرَهُ إِتْمَامٌ. And it's not disliked to complete your prayer, But it's better for you to read two, insha'Allah. وَالْقَصْرُ أَفْضَلُ وَلَا يُعِيدُ مَنْ قَصَرَ ثُمَّ رَجَعَ قَبْلَ إِسْتِكْمَالِ الْمَسَافَةِ. And the person who he intended to travel 85 kilometers, left the boundary of his city, and then he traveled maybe 50 kilometers, and then he prayed his zuhr as two, and then he didn't really finish and reach that destination. He decided not to continue, and he came back home. Does he need to repeat? No, he does not need to repeat. Why? Because at the time he did what was the obligation upon him, what was permissible from him. Walhamdulillah. The author states, وَمَنْ نَوَى إِقَامَةً مُطْلَقًا بِمُوضِعٍ أَوْ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ أَوْ تَمَّ بِمُقِيمٍ أَتَمَّ. Then whoever intends unlimited residence in a place, the individual, he intends to become a permanent resident in this place. Someone travels to New York, he lands in New York, and he intends in New York that, you know what, I'm going to be a New Yorker from today. So from the day he landed there, he will read full salah because he regards himself now as a permanent resident there. Oh, أَكْثَرْ مِنْ أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ, 20 prayers. Or the individual intends to stay in New York for more than 4 days, for more than 20 prayers. So I'm staying in New York for 5-7 days. Khalas, from day one, I'm no longer a musafir. I am in the hukum of a muqeem. I'm in the hukum of a resident. Or you are praying behind an imam who's reading full, then you obviously have to read full, insha'Allah. وَإِنْ حُبِسَ ظُلْمًا أَوْ بِمَطَرٍ أَوْ أَقَامَ لِحَاجَةٍ بِلَانِيَّ إِقَامَةٍ فَوْقَ أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ وَلَا يَدْرِي مَتَى تَنْقَضِي قَصَرَ أَبَدًا. As for the individual who, he comes to New York because he needs to get his passport sorted out. They said to him, come this afternoon. He goes. They say, no, come tomorrow. Then he goes. Then they say, no, come tomorrow. Then they come, no, come this afternoon. And they keep going up and down like this here. You ask him, brother, when are you going to leave New York? He says, wallahi, I don't know. I hope I'm going to leave tomorrow. You know, once I get my passport, I'm leaving tomorrow. But the tomorrow never came. And he was there for maybe 3 months. Every single day he would have shortened his prayer and joined if he wanted to. Walhamdulillah. As opposed to, once they told him after a week that, you know what, your passport will only be ready in 9 days from now. So now he knows that I'm going to be here for more than 4 days. And so from that time, from that moment that he got that news, he will cease to be a musafir and he will read his salah as full. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the author then states, Faslun. He now moves on to the matters pertaining to joining, insha'Allah. And remember that the Hanbali Madhab is the most liberal with regards to joining between prayers, whereas the Hanafi Madhab, the most restrictive with regards to this matter. The most conservative, the Hanafis, and the most liberal with joining are the Hanbalis. The Hanbalis state that joining is allowed at times of need, at times of haja. You are sick, you are traveling, you have an operation to undergo, etc. You would be allowed to join between your prayers because it is to do with haja, it's to do with difficulty, it's to do with need, insha'Allah. Faslun, yubahu jam'un bayna zuhrin wa asrin wa isha'ain biwaqt ihdahuma. It is permissible to join between zuhr and asr and maghrib and isha in either of their times. Either you're joining both at zuhr time, either you're joining both at asr time, either you're joining maghrib and isha at maghrib or maghrib and isha at isha. Wa tarkuhu afdal. And not joining, it is better. Reading each one in its own time, that is better. غير جمعي عرفة ومزدلفة فيوسن. Except at Arafat and Muzdalifah, those ones, there's no debate. The ulama agree upon them. And so those ones, it's sunnah to join. As for while you're a traveler, if you pray in its own time, that's better. But joining is permissible. It is mubah. It is allowed for you. Walhamdulillah. وَيُجْمَعُ فِي ثَمَنْ حَالَاتِ. And combining is allowed in 8 scenarios. Number 1. Bisafar qasrin, that when you are traveling, the distance which allows you to shorten your prayer, so you are a legal musafir, then in that case, you are allowed to join, insha'Allah. وَمَرِيدٌ يَلْحَقُهُ بِتَرْكِهِ مَشَقَّةٌ. And the one who is sick, if he doesn't join, he's going to be in difficulty. So you sick in your own house, you can join between your two prayers. You will not shorten, obviously, because you don't have the concession to shorten. You're not a musafir. but you can join between the two prayers. Doctor says that after Maghrib, take your medication, pray your Maghrib and Isha early at 7 p.m. and then go to bed, because maybe your Isha is at 9 p.m. It's very late, and so you want to have an early night. No problem, inshallah. وَمُرْضِعٌ لِمَشَقَّةِ كَثْرَةِ نَجَاسَةٍ. And the woman who is breastfeeding, and because the kid is vomiting, and the kid this, and the kid that, and issues, etc., najasa, and all of these matters, looking after the kid, and so she would also be allowed to join between the two prayers, inshallah. وَمُسْتَحَابَ وَنَحْوِهَا. And the female who has this chronic dysfunctional bleeding, she's bleeding the whole day, she would also be allowed to join between Dhuhr and Asr, between Maghrib and Isha, inshallah. And similar to her would be somebody who's got incontinence, somebody who suffers from flatulence, somebody who has salasul bowl, somebody who has like a permanent excuse. He's got a wound and it's gushing out blood all the time. And so this individual here, he's got a nullifier of wudu which is with him at all times. And so he's also allowed to join between the two prayers, inshallah. وَعَاجِزٌ عَنْ طَهَارَةٍ أَوْ تَيَمُّمْ لِكُلِّ صَلَاةٍ أَوْ عَنْ مَعْرِفَةِ وَقْتٍ كَأَعْمَى وَنَحْوِهِ. And similarly with regards to somebody who's unable, incapable of purifying themselves or making tayammum for every prayer. Maybe you are very ill, very sick, and you know somebody helps you for your dhuhr, and they help you with the wudu. So pray your dhuhr and asr now, inshallah. Later on they might help you. You can pray your maghrib and your isha. Jayid. So you can join, inshallah. Similarly, the individual who is blind and doesn't know about the entry of the salah times, and so you can join between the two prayers. أو لعذر أو شغل يبيح ترك جمعة وجماعة. Or any other excuse which allows you to leave the jama'ah and the jumu'ah salah. So whatever excuse gives you the concession to be absent from Jumu'ah and Jama'ah would also apply here, inshallah, that you can join between the prayers, inshallah. وَيَخْتَصُ بِجَوَازْ جَمْعِ الْعِشَاءَيْنِ. And now he discusses matters specifically related to joining between Maghrib and Isha. Only Maghrib and Isha, not Dhuhr and Asr, only Maghrib and Isha. That with regards to Maghrib and Isha, وَلَوْ صَلَّى بِبَيْتِهِ. Even if you're praying in your house and there is snow. So we've already discussed the general rule with regards to joining. Now we're talking about specifically with regards to Isha. If, for example, there is snow, there's cold, there's ice, there's mud, there's strong cold winds. So it must be strong winds and it's cold winds. And rain, which soaks the clothes, coupled with difficulty. If these apply, then you can join between your Maghrib and your Isha, inshallah. But if this occurs around Dhuhr time, then according to the author, you won't be allowed to join. Why? Because you can see where you're going, all is okay. Whereas at night, it's much more difficult. وَالْأَفْضَلُ فِعْلِ الْأَرْفَقِ مِنْ تَقْدِيمْ جَمْعْ أَوْ تَأْخِيرِهِ فَإِنْ إِسْتَوَيَا فَتَأْخِيرْ أَفْضَلْ. And whatever is easier for you, join Maghrib and Isha at Maghrib time, or Maghrib and Isha at Isha time, whichever one is easier for you, inshallah. But if both of them are equal, then delay is better, inshallah. وَيُشْتَرَتْ لَهُ تَرْتِيبٌ مُطْلَقًا. Conditions with regards to joining between two prayers generally at any time, the conditions are, number one, you need to have tartib, you need to pray the Dhuhr and then the Asr after, you need to pray the Maghrib and then the Isha after that, so you need to follow the tartib. وَلِجَمْعٍ بِوَقْتْ أُولَى نِيَّةٌ عِنْدَ إِحْرَامِهَا. You need to, and with regards to early joining, with regards to praying Dhuhr and Asr at Dhuhr time, with regards to Maghrib and Isha at Maghrib time, with regards to that, بِجَمْعْ وَقْتْ أُولَى, you need to have the intention of the second prayer at the time of your first prayer. So right now, I'm praying Dhuhr and Asr. I need to have the intention that I will be praying my Asr together directly after the Dhuhr. I need to have that intention here. I need to have the intention of joining before I start the first prayer. وَأَلَّا يُفَرِّقَ بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِقَدْرِ إِقَامَةٍ وَوُضُوءٍ خَفِيفٍ فَيَبْطُلُ بِرَاتِبَةٍ بَيْنَهُمَا. And you shouldn't have any break in between these two prayers. Pray your Dhuhr Salah and then directly after that pray your Asr Salah. Don't break, except if you need to take wudu, except if you need to give the iqama, obviously, for the next Salah. These small matters are okay. But you're enjoying yourself and you are having a meal and you are talking on the cell phone, etc. Or you decide to read the sunnah of Salatul Dhuhr. All of these here, they break the combining. They break the combining. Your combining is invalid. Because what type of combining are you doing if they're not literally combined with one another? The author then states, وَوُجُودُ الْعُذُرِ عِنْدَ إِفْتِتَاحِهِمَا. And you need to have the presence of the excuse at the beginning of both and the first salam. The excuse needs to still be present, that let's say it is safar, it is travel, then for the first salah and the second salah, you must still be a musafir. For the first and the second salah, you must still be sick. Jayid. Otherwise, if you prayed the first one, and then you ceased to be a musafir because your plane landed, or because the ship, entered the port, etc., then your first salah would be valid, and all is well there, but you won't be able to join the Asr now. You will have to pray the Asr in its normal time because there's no excuse for you to do the jam, the joining. واستمراره في غير جمع مطر ونحبه إلى فراغ الثانية فلو أحرم بالأولى لمطر ثم انقطع فلم يعد وإن حصل وحل لم يبطل وإلا بطل. So you need to have the presence of the excuse at the beginning of both and the first salam, its continuation except when combining for rain. So if, for example, it's been pouring, it's been raining at the Maghrib time, and after Maghrib it stopped raining. So can I join my Isha now? Yes, I can. Why? Because even though the rain might have stopped, maybe it will start in a few minutes' time. There's a lot of mud, etc. outside. So I still do have an excuse, inshallah. Therefore, one makes Takbiratul Ihram for the first because of rain. And then it ceases, it stops, and does not continue. But it produces mud. Then it is not invalidated. What's not invalidated? Your joining is not invalidated. But if there's no mud and the rain has stopped, then yes, then your joining would be invalidated. وَلَوْ إِنْقَطَعَ سَفَرْ بِأُولَى بَطَلَ الْجَمْءُ وَالْقَصْرُ فَيَتِمَّهَا وَيَسِحُ فَرْضًا وَبِثَانِيَةٍ بَطَلَ وَيَتِمَّهَا نَفْلًا. Additionally, if the travel concludes with the first, you're in your Dhuhr Salah and you just finish your Dhuhr, and your plane landed, the combining and the shortening are invalid. Your Dhuhr is fine, but you cannot pray your Asr now. You will pray Asr in normal Asr time. If it is ended with the second, they are invalid, though completed as a voluntary prayer. If, for example, you were in your second prayer and the plane landed, you were in your second prayer and alhamdulillah you got shifa and you're no longer sick, then technically your first prayer was valid. But your second one, it is not valid as the fard prayer. It turns into a nafil prayer and you will need to make it up. You'll need to pray it in its normal time, inshallah. Example, the brother, he was praying his Salatul Maghrib and he decides to join Maghrib and Isha together because he's sick. And while he prayed his Maghrib, all was well. He began his Isha, and in the middle of his Isha, walhamdulillah, 100% shifa, he's not sick any longer. Technically, this Isha now is invalid because there's no excuse to be praying this Isha in the Maghrib time. And then this Isha will turn into a Nafil Salah that he completes. And later on, 1 hour later, when Isha proper time comes in, I will pray proper Isha there. Walhamdulillah. وَيُشْتَرَطْ. Now he discusses with regards to the delay joining. وَيُشْتَرَطْ لِجَمْعِي بِوَقْتِ ثَانِيَةٍ نِيَّتُهُ بِوَقْتِ الْأُولَى. And the prerequisite to combine in the second's time. So you're praying Dhuhr and Asr at Asr time, Maghrib and Isha at Isha time. The prerequisite to combine in the second's time is to have the intention from the first time, to have the intention to do so from the first Salah, so long as it has not run out, while the excuse is still present at the time of the second, and there's no other conditions required. No other conditions required. Here, that condition of you need to pray one directly after the other salah doesn't apply. Why? Because it's already that time of that second prayer. I don't know if you got that. Jayid. If I'm praying Zuhr and Asr at Zuhr time, I need to pray each prayer directly after the other. I need to bring that Asr, I'm bringing it in my Zuhr time, so I need to do it directly after my Zuhr. But if I am praying Zuhr and Asr at Asr time, here, if there was a break in between my Zuhr and my Asr, I spoke on the phone, etc., all is okay. Why? Because it's already Asr time. It's already Asr time, and so, you know, there's no other condition that applies. The author then states, وَلَا يُشْتَرُطُ لِصِحَةِ اتِّخَاذِ إِمَامٍ وَمَأْمُومٍ. It's not a precondition for the validity of jam' to have only one imam. You can pray Zuhr behind one imam, you can pray your Asr behind another imam. If the follower therefore prays both behind two different imams, behind someone who's not combining, so you prayed your Zuhr Salah behind an imam who's a resident, you prayed four rakahs, and then after that on your own, you prayed your Asr, that is fine, inshallah. One alone and the other in congregation, no problem. Leading one in the first and another in the second, or with someone not combining, it is valid. All of that's fine. I was the imam for the Zuhr, and then I prayed on my own for the Asr, because there was nobody following me, etc. No problem. I prayed with one brother, the Zuhr Salah, and then he left, and then I prayed with somebody else, the Asr prayer, and then he left. No problem, inshallah. Faslun. The last of the people who are granted excuses, Salatul Khawf. Tasihu Salatul Khawf biqitalin mubahin. Salatul Khawf is valid during permissible combat, not haram combat. Walau hadaran, even if you are not a musafir, even if you're a resident fighting within your town, the Salatul Khawf would be allowed for you, insha'Allah. مَعَ خُوفَ هَجْمِ الْعَدُوْ عَلَى سِتَّةِ أَوْجُهِنْ. And there are six different methods of praying Salatul Khawf, and these are taken from the various ahadith and discussed in the more detailed books of fiqh, insha'Allah. وَإِذَا اشْتَدَّ الْخَوْفِ صَلُّوا رِجَالًا وَرُكُوبًا وَرُكْبَانًا لِلْقِبْلَةِ وَغَيْرِهَا وَلَا يَلْزَمُ إِفْتِتَاحِهَا إِلَيْهَا وَلَوْ أَمْكَنَ. Jayid, the author states that if fear becomes severe, prayer is made on foot, while mounted, while facing towards the Qibla or any other direction. And it's not required to begin the Salah while facing towards the Qibla, even if it is possible. Even if it's possible to face the Qibla, you don't have to. You can pray in any direction, in any manner. There's various methods of Salatul Khawf, and the one where it's extreme severe fear, you pray in whatever manner you can. While you are running, while you are crawling, while you are moving, while you are carrying your arms, you pray in whatever manner. You know, all you can do is move your eyes and few limbs. That's what you do, inshallah. يومئون طاقتهم ولمحصل كر وفر لمصلحة ولا تبطل بطوله. The one praying is permitted to strike and move and attack the enemy for some benefit, which does not invalidate the prayer even due to its excessive duration. No problem. Insha'Allah. وَالسُّنَّ لَهُ فِيهَا حَمْلُ مَا يَدْفَعُ بِهِ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَلَا يُثَقِلُهُ كَسَيْفٍ وَسِكِّينٍ وَجَازَ لِحَاجَةٍ حَمْلَ النَّجِسِ وَلَا يُعِيدٍ. And it's recommended for the one who's on this battlefield in combat to carry whatever he requires to defend himself with that is not heavy, like a sword, or a knife. So he can carry a sword, he can carry a knife, etc. You know, while he's performing that salah, no problem. جَازَ لِحَاجَةٍ حَمْلْ نَجِسْ وَلَا يُعِيدْ. And it is permissible for him to even have some najasa on his body, etc., on his clothing, and there's no requirement for him to repeat that salah, walhamdulillah. As we can see, as you require more concession due to difficulty, the Sharia grants more concessions, walhamdulillah. So as things get more difficult, the Sharia makes things more expansive and wider for you, walhamdulillah, and not restricted, mashaAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, would that be iznillahi ta'ala? We will end this majlis, inshaAllah, until we meet again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah, the best in this world and in the hereafter. If your knowledge is above average, your ibadah, your character, your akhlaq, your manners, your your tahajjud, all of these matters are also supposed to be above average. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.